Hello and welcome to the Health Report with me, Norman Swan. The title of today's programme is The Cocktail Party Problem. And if you've got any hearing loss, you know exactly what I mean. As our population ages, hearing loss has become the third most common chronic disability amongst adults. Most people with hearing loss have never tried hearing aids, and those who have are often less than satisfied with the results. Documentary maker Aviva Ziegler has prepared this special report.
No, that noise you can hear isn't because of your radio, so please don't rush to turn it off. But there is definitely a problem here. Despite having spent a fortune successfully mapping the human genome and reaching the moon, we're still grappling with what looks on the surface to be a relatively simple problem, a way to help people hear, particularly in noisy places. I soon realised that I'd stumbled onto a subject that was not only complex and painful, but could also be downright fraudulent.
We have pretty good projections from the Bureau of Statistics as to what the age profile will be 10 and 20 years into the future, and we know very well how the prevalence of hearing loss increases with age. So you put those two together and you end up with a very rapidly increasing prevalence of hearing loss as the population ages. Over 60s, it's about 60%. Over 70s, it's about 70%. And by the time you get into your 90s, if you're so lucky, then you're going to have a hearing loss.
We tend to forget the enormous impact that sound has on our moment-to-moment sense of where we are and how we're feeling.
How much of that is actually due to what we've done to our ears through living in a noisy society, and how much is the inevitable consequence of being old is a bit up for conjecture. So it's hard to say exactly what the cause is, but some combination of what we've done to our ears through noise and what age does.
It's hard to believe that this wonderful music could actually have been written by someone who was stone deaf.
There's a wonderful piece of writing that Beethoven, a letter that he wrote after he started going very deaf. He contemplated committing suicide, and he wrote about this. And it wasn't so much that he wasn't going to be able to hear his music anymore, because he could always hear his music in his head. It was the social isolation that really profoundly affected him.
It was while agitating for my 96-year-old mother to get a hearing aid that I embarked on this program. As well as being blind, Mum's loss of hearing was adding to her already shrinking world. Ear, nose and throat specialist Dr. George Lukowitz supported me in trying to find a hearing aid to suit Mum's needs.
Now, how is your hearing?
Well, I can hear more. Yeah. For a little while it was a bit foreign, but it's better now. I seem to handle it better.
As a specialist, you must see a lot of ageing people with hearing loss.
Yes. Mum, at 95, is coming in relatively late. People with hearing troubles generally start at an earlier age, by which time, if they start getting manipulation difficulties, they're already used to the device and probably get by.
But when you first saw me many years ago, I complained about my eyes. You said, I wished your eyes would be as good as your ears.
At that time, your hearing was pretty good. But unfortunately, not only did you have the eye problem, which continues, but the hearing has gone off. So you've got a double difficulty, and you've got a little bit of finger manipulation problems as well because of the arthritis.
Having a hearing loss, as well as being old and vulnerable, could easily be a recipe for trouble. Until 7 or 8 years ago, major manufacturers around the world supplied hearing aid products to fully trained audiologists who would test and fit clients. But then, in an effort to increase business, some manufacturers started setting up their own retail outlets. With the offer of free hearing tests, they would get people in the door. In an unregulated industry, they could employ anyone, a trained audiologist, or even someone with virtually no training at all. The unsuspecting consumer wouldn't know the difference and could be offered useless solutions, or very high-cost hearing aids that they really didn't need. I spoke to Martin Smith, who found himself in just such a situation.
Maybe about 10, 12 years ago, I one day got an unsolicited letter which said, "Dear Martin, come for a free hearing test." My thought at the time was, wow, Australia's amazing. There's probably a register of people's ages, and when they get to a certain age, it's tested. As it happened, I think this was a big con. I went for the free test. They found that my hearing wasn't good, and they were very keen immediately to sell me some very expensive hearing aids, something like $8,000-$9,000. And they put a fair amount of pressure on. And I said, I'd just like to think about it for a little while. And would they mind giving me the result? It gave me the impression that it was government or it, but it's not. It's a business. My GP was very scathing of them. Although they did give me a test in what looked like a proper setup, It didn't accord with the test I got subsequently. So he sent me off to an ear, nose and throat specialist who has had at the time an audiologist working for him. She gave me the test, found I did have hearing loss in the higher frequencies, but it wasn't as they had said it.
Researchers at Australia's National Acoustic Laboratories gave me samples to help me understand hearing loss. This is how a news broadcast in a very noisy environment sounds to a person with normal hearing.
This is the 6 o'clock news for Tuesday, 25th November. And first, the headlines. The Prime Minister has promised to help the drought-stricken farmers in the northern part of the country who haven't seen rain for nearly 2 years.
And this is how it sounds to a person with only a moderate hearing loss.
This is the 6 o'clock news for Tuesday, 25th November. And first, the headlines. The Prime Minister has promised to help the drought-stricken farmers in the northern part of the country who haven't seen rain for nearly 2 years.
Dr. Harvey Dillon is the director of the National Acoustic Laboratories.
Well, there are two things that you have to have in order for a hearing aid to be suitable. The first is you have to have enough hearing loss, which is not a great amount. Once you're into the through the mild range, heading towards the moderate range, that's absolutely enough for a hearing aid to help. And the other one is you must want it. So if you don't want to wear a hearing aid, you'll probably find an excuse not to. So a lot of elderly people are brought in by their sons and daughters or by their spouses who are typically sick of having the television turned up to an incredible volume.
That's certainly the situation that I was in. I found it really difficult to get my mother to hear me. She said I mumbled.
That's very common for the person with a hearing loss to think that the problem lies elsewhere. It's very understandable. Hearing loss doesn't change overnight. Mostly it grows very, very gradually. So gradually you cannot notice the change.
And here's my mother's audiologist, Michael Gordon.
Right, I'm going to just prepare the ear. Turn you around here a little bit. Have a look in here.
And one of the problems was that Mum actually didn't believe that she had a hearing loss.
Lots of people don't believe it.
That is how I stay in business, is not from the person with the hearing loss, but from everyone else who has to experience how that person is with a hearing loss.
But I think my hearing loss was pretty rapid, because for a long time I didn't have any problem.
So how many different types of hearing aids would there be?
There's a lot of different types of hearing aids, but that's mostly because there's a lot of different manufacturers. The basic operations in each hearing aid are fairly similar. Every single hearing aid is extremely adjustable, and it has to be, so that that same hearing aid can actually function perfectly well on hundreds of people with different complexities of hearing loss.
Can you tell Michael what the hearing's like since you've had them?
Conversations with people, I can hear them very well.
That's good, because you're telling me when you first came, it was quite difficult when there was a couple of people talking at once.
Dr. Simon Carlisle heads the Auditory Neuroscience Laboratory at the University of Sydney.
With the baby boomers greying, billions a year are already being lost in productivity. There was an interesting study carried out, it's a bit old now, about 5 years ago, I think, which makes a number of estimates of the number of Australians who have various levels of hearing impairment and what that's projected to be by 2030. And it's actually staggering, the costs in lost productivity. But what a lot of people don't realise as well is that one of the major costs with dealing with hearing impairment is managing the depression that is secondary to hearing impairments. And that, of course, leads to a whole series then of changes in their lives that really negatively affect the way that they feel about themselves and their environment.
What I've heard a lot of people who've got hearing aids say is that they don't like them, they don't help them. They can hear in a one-on-one situation, but in a crowd, they have a lot of difficulty.
How much that's true depends on how much hearing loss you've got. If you've just got a mild loss, then the thing you'll most notice is difficulty hearing in a noisy place, but you still will have some trouble hearing in a quieter place where people are speaking more softly. And for the mild loss, the hearing aid won't help you much at all in that noisy place. It will help you in the quiet place.
How's it been with the extra background noise? Are you adapting to that well?
Not yet. It's still disturbing.
Unfortunately, when we develop a sensory neural hearing loss, we lose that ability to hear well in background noise. And when we amplify sounds back that you need to hear, we do pick up some of the background noise. What we do know is that the more you're exposed to it, the better it does become and the easier it is for you.
Yeah.
Like me, Dr. Simon Carlisle also had an ageing parent with a hearing problem.
It was my father, his hearing impairment, that really triggered this for me, because after many months or maybe even years of cajoling him to go to an audiologist and get his hearing tested, he dutifully went along, and then we'd have our Sunday dinners, and Dad would turn up at the table with his hearing aids in, but it only lasted for about three dinners, and he turned up without it. And of course I went ballistic and said, you know, after all this effort and after all this money, why aren't you wearing your hearing aids? And he said, well, son, the problem is they're okay on a one-to-one basis or when I'm listening to the television, but when I'm amongst a whole range of people, it just makes the background noise louder as well as the person I want to listen to. And it makes it really difficult to work out what's going on. And I said to myself, well, I'm a neuroscientist. I mean, it shouldn't be beyond my wit to make a contribution here. I guess it's this interest in sound that has driven, firstly, my interest in auditory neuroscience. It's all about the receiver. It's all about what's between your ears, not your ears yourselves, because it's the way the brain interprets the information that it's getting. The main problem that Dad was suffering from, and indeed everybody who has a hearing impairment suffers from, is this inability to solve what's known as the cocktail party problem. That is to, how do we segregate out or separate out a talker of interest against a lot of other background noise, particularly when the background noise are other talkers? So it's a difficult signal processing for the brain to do. What's absolutely fascinating is, of course, you know, if you've got normal hearing or nearly normal hearing, it's something we do all the time and effortlessly. You know, we can go down and spend hours and hours down the club or the pub or the whatever, and we don't come back exhausted. Whereas someone with even mild hearing impairment can go to a restaurant with a lot of clatter and other talkers, and after an hour and a half, they're exhausted because of all the effort that they have to put in to try to work out what's going on.
I very soon realised that it wasn't just elderly people who were suffering from hearing problems, but also my own contemporaries. And one friend, Anne, like others I'd heard about, was in denial about her hearing loss. After a bit of persuasion, I accompanied her to a hearing test with audiologist Alison Jager.
So you've had a hearing test before?
Quite some time ago.
Do you know what that showed?
That I've had pretty bad hearing loss. I was reluctant at the time to do anything about it. Yeah. Even my GP said, tell your friends to speak more loudly.
Right.
My mother had poor hearing and a hearing aid, and she always hated it. But my brother's also got a hearing aid, and he doesn't like wearing it. So I kind of put off doing anything about it until I tend to be told by my friends that it's time I did.
Are you having to get people to repeat themselves? Are you misinterpreting what they're saying? Are you turning the telly up louder? What have you noticed yourself?
All of that.
What about if you're in a noisy situation like a restaurant or a cafe or anywhere where there's background noise? Oh, is that okay or
no,
difficult?
No, that's not okay, but I've also got friends with good hearing who find
that difficulty in
that awkward situation.
So what I'm going to do is give you this button to press. Whenever you hear a whistle or a beep, press the button to let me know that you've heard it. Even if it's very, very faint, I still want you to press.
So if I hear anything,
yep.
I press
the button. No matter how faint, if you hear it, you press it.
Okay.
You're listening to The Health Report on News Radio. I'm Aviva Ziegler, and we're exploring hearing loss and the cocktail party problem. I asked Harvey Dillon what it is that causes the problem when there's all this extra sound around you.
When people try to make automatic speech recognition machines, they very quickly discover it's a very hard task to understand one talker when there are other sounds coming around. And it's really quite miraculous how our normal hearing mechanism and brain combine together to do that task. It is really incredibly sophisticated processing going on. And when you've got a hearing loss, as well as there being soft sounds that you can't hear, the sounds that you hear with less precision. And so the information our ears are able to feed up into the brain is actually less precise than a normal hearer can do. And that means the brain just doesn't have the same degree of information to work with, and so you just don't do as well.
Last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to play you some words and I want you to repeat them back to me. If you don't hear the word, have a guess. But I want to know what it sounds like for you.
Fan.
Good.
Ship.
Well done.
Cheek. Haze. Both. Move.
Good. And the other ear.
Sun.
Good.
Will. Vet.
Good.
Shape.
Good.
Hide.
Last one.
Job.
Well done. Just go and grab those results. If you had normal hearing, all the circles and crosses would be up the top that range. Yep. One of them just scrapes in there, but generally they're below that line.
Mm.
The further down you go, the worse the hearing.
Mm.
Okay. And you're sort of somewhere in the middle.
Mm.
Okay. Low pitches or bass, high pitches or treble. If you think of a piano, low pitch across to high pitch. So your hearing is better at the low pitches, worse at the high pitches. Very typical, very typical. Most common hearing loss that we see.
Yeah.
What this means is that you still get a reasonable amount of volume, but what you've lost is the clarity.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
So sometimes even though you turn the volume up or people speak louder, it doesn't always help. What you need them to do is speak more clearly and not necessarily louder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what hearing aids try to do is not necessarily give you back a whole lot more volume, but give you back some of these sounds, which is what is providing the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It often sounds a bit like people are mumbling. In fact, they're not mumbling, but to you, that's exactly what it sounds like, that they're just not speaking clearly.
That's right.
Yep.
Here's Simon Carlisle again.
We really need to better understand how the normal hearing person solves the cocktail party problem. We've got quite a lot of information about how the brain can sort out, say, one talker against a background of noise. But, of course, that's a pretty static view of what the cocktail party problem is, because there's usually two or three or four people involved in the conversation, so we pass the next turn from one person to the next. So we know almost nothing about the processes that are involved in that.
Our research is aimed at producing better solutions for noisy places, and in particular, we're working on a super directional microphone. Ordinary hearing aids are a little bit directional. They'll pick up sounds from the front just a bit more than they pick up sounds from elsewhere. We're combining the sounds coming from the microphones on each side of the head to produce a combined signal that is really able to be narrowly tuned. So it's a bit like walking through life with a telescope in front of you. What's in front of you, you'll see really clearly. But you'll be fairly unaware of the things around you. We're working on how to juggle that with the hearing at the moment so that we can give some greater increase to sensitivity from the front, but still keep some awareness of the sounds coming from other directions.
To illustrate this research, here's a sample of what it's like to listen to the news in a crowded cafeteria.
This is the 6 o'clock news for Tuesday, 25th November. And first, the headlines. Prime Minister has promised to help the drought-stricken farmers in the northern part of the country who haven't seen rain for nearly 2 years.
And this is how it sounds using their new directional microphones.
This is the 6 o'clock news for Tuesday, 25th November. And first, the headlines. The Prime Minister has promised to help the drought-stricken farmers in the northern part of the country who haven't seen rain for nearly 2 years.
And we think actually people with all degrees of hearing loss will benefit from this. I think those with a mild hearing loss will probably end up hearing maybe even better than normal hearers in noise, and that'll be a real first. People at the other end with severe hearing loss and with cochlear implants, they'll be hearing a lot better than they are now.
Simon Carlisle again.
The principal goal of hearing aids is to boost those higher frequencies and middle frequencies that we can no longer hear particularly well if we're hearing impaired, and bring them up to a loudness level that we can now hear them. So it's as if you've turned the volume knob down by, say, you know, 50 dB. So take your stereo and turn it down from its most loudest to when you can just hear it. So what happens is that when we stick these earpieces in there that can boost up those sounds, the brain has to get used to this new pattern of input. And that takes time. Now, we've been doing work here in the lab which shows that, you know, 30 to 40, maybe even 50 days, if you don't have any other kind of training involved, is about what it's probably going to take the auditory system to work out how to use this information optimally.
Despite his initial unpleasant experience, Martin Smith decided he would invest in some hearing aids after all.
So I decided to get hearing aids that cost $6,000, and they never worked. I had them, I persevered for 6-7 years. I wasn't sure ever whether they improved my hearing or hindered my hearing. There was always a high-pitched whistle, and it was never satisfactory.
Now, what happens, of course, is that someone goes and gets their hearing aid, gets new hearing aids fitted from their audiologist, and they can pay, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a hearing aid. So they've suddenly got $10,000 worth of hardware stuck in their ear. They trot straight down to the club because, you know, they want to test it out and discover that it's not working. Or at least it's not working for them yet. But given the level of expense, given the level of frustration, about a fifth to a quarter of new hearing aid wearers give them back. And they say, give me money back. These don't work for me. Which, of course, is a big problem for the industry because, you know, that's a loss of product. But it's also a big problem for the hearing impaired because, you know, they would have gained some advantage if they had waited out that time and wore them as much as they could. And the brain then, through what's called functional plasticity, learns to use this information. The notion of this functional plasticity has really only emerged over the last, say, 10 or 15 years from looking at it from a scientific perspective. Auditory rehabilitation is certainly becoming an important topic in research and is increasingly taught now in schools of audiology. The work that's been looking at, say, turn-taking, that's really only just started in this lab and one or two others over the last less than handful of years, so it's pretty new stuff.
Historically, there's been quite a lot of hearing aids that end up being what we call in-the-drawer hearing aids, but that proportion is really coming down. The last survey we did, which was national, there were about 13% of the hearing aids fitted under the government's hearing services program, which were not being used. And that's an improvement, and it's still not a good enough result, but it's a better result than we've had before. We put that down to some improvements in technology. Open-fit devices, which leave the ear unoccluded, are very good for people with mild and moderate loss because they can hear normally through the low-frequency sounds through that open ear. Digital feedback suppression means that the hearing aids are less likely to whistle than they were in the past, and generally more intelligence inside the hearing aids so that they do a better job of turning themselves up and down and changing their characteristics as the sounds change.
Martin Smith again.
A few weeks ago, I decided I would get a new pair. And I have been very wary now and said, I want a good trial before I commit myself to anything. And what she proposed was that I have these, which are the lowest of the $4,800 ones, and that I would try them for a few weeks. And she'll swap them for ones that cost $6,800. And if I don't like either, the whole thing will have cost me $280.
So, Anne, you're a bit surprised to see how much hearing loss you had.
How much hearing loss? That I was so far below the line, yes. I mean, I knew I had a hearing loss, but I didn't think it was that bad.
I think you would benefit from hearing aids. I really
do.
You would benefit quite significantly from hearing aids. I think you probably left it long enough. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. I know that they have their limitations, but I think it's worth giving it a try.
Even so, Anne was hesitant about getting a hearing aid. However, by the time we left the audiologist's clinic, she'd at least agreed to think about it.
Even if you've got moderate hearing impairments and got the most modern hearing aids you can get, you're still not going to get all of the information you need to solve the cocktail party problem. So the most advanced hearing aids that are currently available really still don't help very much in that sort of crowded, busy kind of environment. And, you know, I think the technology is not that far away from actually being able to assist in this area.
You haven't actually worked out a system where people can hear exactly what's going on around them when they've got a hearing loss.
Maybe hearing is a harder problem because of the incredible complexity of many sounds coming in at once. They're all coming in the same little ear hole. They're all going into the same ear, and yet they've got to be separated into their constituent bits. It's a really sophisticated problem. Hearing has long been a success story for Australia. Everybody knows about Cochlear, the company, and Graham Clark, the inventor of the most successful type of cochlear implant. But the National Acoustic Laboratories has been around since the late 1940s, and everyone around the world who fits hearing aids knows of our procedures because they use them every day.
For my mother, it was a device made in the United States that provided the solution. Her ear, nose and throat specialist, Dr. George Lukowitz, thought that if she was one of the 25% of people with the right shaped ear canal, it might just do the trick.
This has been a very good result, a fairly simple device placed in the ear canal. It sits there as a semi-permanent implant and doesn't need to be pulled in and out.
Have you had any other patients who had it?
No, mum's the first patient. This is a new product. This is a disposable hearing aid which lasts 3 to 4 months and then is replaced. And she is in that group that do find manipulation of small objects like the little hearing aids too difficult. And this is an answer for people who have arthritis or difficulties with moving their fingers or hands, if they've got visual problems where the hearing aid might be. If you have hard of hearing as well, you're really isolated from the world around you, and that's a serious problem.
I was at a conference just a month and a half ago where there was some extraordinarily interesting data being presented, which was looking at the importance of maintaining social communication, particularly in older age, in maintaining normal cognitive function. So what they're saying is that uncorrected hearing impairment and social isolation can accelerate cognitive decline in the aged. So one wouldn't go so far as to say, you know, it induces Alzheimer's or anything like that, but it does accelerate cognitive decline.
How is the latest version travelling in your ear?
They are much, much better. They do make a difference. I was never sure with the first ones if they made any difference at all. The earlier ones which didn't work were entirely within the ear. These have got a mechanism behind the ear and then connected with delicate plastic tubing, and for that you pay at least $4,800.
My reluctant friend Anne finally decided to bite the bullet and get a hearing aid, and we, her friends, are very happy. But I wonder how much more Beethoven might have achieved if he'd had a hearing aid.
A special feature on hearing loss and the less than adequate technology of hearing aids was prepared by documentary maker Aviva Ziegler. I'm Norman Swan, and this has been the Health Report. See you next week.